Guy Davis has done us the honor of joining us in conversation. I am Paula Gordon. This is Bill Russell.
We have a good friend who's a scientist who, on the basis of the science he's done through a lifetime, he's in his 70s now, says all you can do is do your best. You can never know the outcome.
This is pure Darwin. This is evolution.
Well, but it's,
this
it's a,
is the human animal within the big systems. All you can do is do your best because you'll never know the outcome.
And I say that in the context you're talking about because, you know, it's always more complicated to live your life than to watch somebody else living their lives. And you know, thinking about Paul Robeson, you don't know the consequences of what you do. And that's really what he's saying. You can't yeah. predict the future in any reliable fashion. Mostly we get it wrong. So the best policy is to do your best and to bring, to make your best the best that it can be. Spend a lifetime studying music, making music, learning from the music you're making. And it seems that applies, we're not just talking about music making, we're talking about trying to get from day one to day two to day last.
What I would like to hold in common with my pursuit of the art of music and with the country that I come from, the United States of America, and with this country and most countries in the world, but I'll start with my country, is that there is room for tremendous improvement. As a student of music, even if I get called the master of it, there is always room, tremendous room for improvement. In my country, who has many faults, I will not deny her. I love her. But she's got tremendous room for improvement.
Lots of opportunity.
Yep, I'm thinking. when we get to the political part of the show, make sure to get that, you know, gaffer's tape over my mouth because I'm going to, you know, say some more.
Well, but that's not right. That's what we've done too much in this country. Okay. Your dad didn't do that. Your mom didn't do that. You're in a tradition that speaks truth to power.
Okay. All right. Well, this is what I'll say. If we're here in this country where our phones are spying on us, our own digital devices, yours is better. They heard the code you punched out, and oh, that's Paula. Yeah, she's fighting us. She don't know where you're at. It's Paula. If we're in a country where the NSA has got all this information on us and didn't let us know, and the guy who told us is called, you know, like some sort of criminal or a crook, and I do not think that is the case with Edward Snowden and Julian Assange. I do not think that is the case. I think we need to speak out and say that maybe this democracy that we live in is not quite what we say it is and what we think it is. And if we're living in a world where we have to be spied upon and spy upon ourselves, and where citizens' only protection against the law sometimes and against police departments is to have your camera out and ready, and even then you get your camera smacked.
Or you get thrown in jail for it.
Or you get thrown in jail for it. If this is the case, then I think we have to have a reset on some of the definitions of just what democracy is. I don't want to be getting pushed around in a world where somebody is going to tell me that dissent is equal to sedition, because it is not. I have the right to disagree. There's nobody's head I'm calling for, blood that I'm calling for, but I've got the right to look at something I think is wrong and say, that is wrong, and it should be changed, and we got to yell about it if that's what it takes.
The sovereignty is us. We have to do the work.
You hear that? I know you. I'm just trying to bring up just a couple of seconds of humor to it.
Just trying to keep it light.
I'm on medication. Yes, I am. No, I'm not on medication, doggone it. It's just if the world is such a place where we cannot trust each other, then I do not want to bring support, you don't have my tax money support bringing death and destruction on anybody in the name of democracy. If somebody got to be bombed, make it real clear why. I want to see the charges read. I want to see the truth.
There is habeas corpus. Bring me the evidence. Yeah, bring me the evidence, the person.
Listening to that, thinking about that, it is, to me, distantly conceivable that you can have justice without a democracy. It is, to me, inconceivable that you can have democracy without justice. And fundamentally, what you're talking about is justice that is applied uniformly, ubiquitously to everyone.
And it's the real deal.
Yeah, well, on this hand, they got all that justice, but you're not seeing the other hand that is holding the money. The uniformity of application.
And justice that can be bought is not justice.
Oh, no, you're right. And isn't it interesting? My country, the United States of America, partly caused the wall in East Germany to fall by the media. It wasn't my soldiers shooting holes through it. It was the media that got people stirred up, and eventually that system had to crumble. But now you've got the internet, which takes that media capability and openness out of the hands of the United States, who was once right on the forefront of it, to now you've got to have kill switches to keep it from getting too free. So, yeah.
We've got to stay awake to what's happening to us, especially in a country where it is our sovereign responsibility, because it's us. It's not one of the things that I find very strange in Canada, it's a monarchy. They have a queen. She happens to live in another country. But it's very strange to not have that sense of empowerment, that it really is the people who are in charge. It's not true in a monarchy, even if it is a titular, as they say, monarchy. There's a different sense of agency, which is kind of there's the $25 words again. If we don't, and it's part of this troubadour, I go back to where we started, it's part of what you're bringing into these little nooks and crannies as well as the big places that you play, is a sense of, so what you gonna do, as James Brown said to...
That wasn't James Brown, it was...
James Brown said, get up off your feet and dance to the funky beat.
That James Brown, yes.
It was Jim Brown.
Jim Brown. And it was
football player.
And he was trying to get the phenomenal comedian,
Richard Pryor,
out of his bed, and so what you gonna do? Stop whining. What you gonna do? And that's sort of how I feel about my blessed country, the United States of America, and my fellow citizens. What you gonna do? I mean, finally, at least people are speaking up, and it's been 40 years. It isn't just recently. It's been my lifetime, starting with the House Un-American Activities Committee. Let's go back to the Second World War when my parents were castigated for having Japanese friends. Well, they weren't spies, they were friends. So there's this tension between oppression and freedom, if you will, has been here since the country separated from England, from the United Kingdom. This is the human condition. Where are we going to balance freedom with certain constraints that keep us able to live together? I sort of had the feeling as I watched you performing last night that you were part of that dialogue, that you were part of keeping people open, keeping people responsible, remembering where we came from, where we're headed, and bringing beauty to that.
Well, Paul, I'm a storyteller. And to some extent, I guess that makes me a griot, except, of course, anything I don't remember accurately, I just make it up. There was a folk singer, a good friend of Pete Seeger's, named Utah Phillips. And he was of the idea that we need to work in bubbles, whatever your community is doing, then that's how you work it. I've been hearing on the radio a lot about the Native North American population of indigenous women in particular, mm-hmm. Who are trying to respond to the terrible threats that exist against their lives and this reservation-style living, and also Native North American men. So yeah, people have to. We got to get on the circuit, get out and talk, wake folks up, tell the stories, and in those stories, it not only has to be the message which contains the blood and the tears. There's got to be humanity. There's got to be humor. There's got to be all those human qualities. My country's history, there were lynchings and I won't say there aren't now necessarily, mm-hmm. but terrible things that you wouldn't think you could find any humorous way of dealing with them. Yet I came across a story that talks about a fellow who, a black man working on a job out in the country, and the boss over him is this white fellow, and the white fellow is kind of lording down on him and shouting, and finally the black fellow hauls off and whacks him. But then he realizes what he just did and what could happen to him because he did that. So he takes off running, and he's running, and he runs 5 miles into town to catch the train. He goes to the depot and says, "Mr. Ticket Agent, how long until the next train?" He said, "Well, the last train didn't been gone 30 minutes. You won't get another train till tomorrow." He said, "Well, man, I can't wait that long." So he runs down the railroad track trying to catch that train. And finally, he catches up. He gets to the dirt road, the paved road, and he's on the superhighway. He catches up with a Cadillac doing like 65 miles an hour. And the man is driving the car, says, "Come on then, I'll give you a lift." So he hops in the car. He doesn't even stop running. He's still in the car running. And the driver guns the motor. He says, "How fast are we going now?" He said, "Man, we're going 85 miles an hour." He said, "Well, man, it's too slow. I ain't got time to wait for this thing." So he hops out of the car, and he's at the airport. He runs to a plane on the runway. And he gets in the plane. The plane is doing 90 as he gets in. And it takes off up in the sky. And the cat runs up to the cockpit, says, "Pilot, how fast are we going?" And the pilot said, 400 miles an hour. Said, 400? Man, I was making faster than this when I was on the ground. So he grabs a parachute, jumps out of the plane, down, down, down. He comes, boom. And he lands on the ground right next to this big old buck with the antlers. And he scares the buck. The buck scares him. And they take off running side by side. And finally, said, "Mister, you must have slapped a white man too." So it's a terribly simple story, a stupid story, but it lets you know how terrifying it was.
Absolutely.
And allows us to laugh, but you get the message clearly.
And go back to our earliest beginnings when we were running down the antelope.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to stop for just a moment and return in a moment with Guy Davis for a few more minutes here on the Paula Gordon Show. Conversations with people like Guy Davis on the Leading Edge. Bill Russell and I are eager for you to return with us.